Hey, welcome to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, GH 107.1, on your FM dial, or of course listen in via our much acclaimed website, www.071.com. Might wonder what we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Well, that's a very good question. My name is Adam Lepp, and I discuss news and views from the world of technology, smartphones, phones that aren't quite so bright. We take a look at some medical technology. Sometimes we delve into robotics and, of course, computer security and privacy and making sure that uninvited visitors do not visit or otherwise snoop in your electronic stuff. That's always a topic of interest. We'll be having an update on the FBI and Apple battle over data privacy and security in a little bit. That's certainly the top story, I would say, for the next few weeks at least. Now, feel free to chime in. This is a audience participation show, not just me yapping. Love to hear from you. Pick up the phone. Yep, the cell phone, rotary dial phone, whatever kind of apparatus you are using to speak in the telecommunications vein. My number here at the studio, and I am live right now at the Marion Center Mall, just south of downtown Marion, OH,
740-383-9944.
Love the cool things we can do. We can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Some people can make business cards that stand out and show off their skills. Take, for example, that one engineer who created a card that lights up, and that programmer who designed one can play Tetris. How about that? But what if you're a medical professional, specifically a cardiologist? A company called Mobile ECG has created a business card that is directly connected to your field. It has a built-in ECG that actually works. According to its blog post, the device has sensors that measure the real ECG signal between the user's hands so long as their thumbs are touching the finger pads. So how about that in the world of medical technology? Something which not only is extremely cool, but could save a life or keep you healthy. Definitely like that idea. Medical technology, always an interest of mine. If you'd like to discuss that topic, again, chime in, 740-383-9944. Without further ado, I want to cover the biggest topic in the IT, computer, and network security world. Not really the most enjoyable topic, but an important one. And, of course, that is the battle between the FBI and Apple. No, not the FBI people. Eating fruit salad, but Apple, the computer and technology company in Cupertino, California. A lot of C's. Anyway, as you may have heard, last Monday, must have been something special they did for Leap Day, a federal magistrate ruled that Apple did not have to unlock an encrypted iPhone used in a federal drug case. Now, the ruling gave Apple a key victory against the Department of Justice in the midst of a legal struggle over an FBI request that the encrypted phone of one of the suspected shooters in the San Bernardino, California massacre also be unlocked. So again, not a case of not wanting to help catch the bad guys, but this sets a precedent for what they may ask for next. That is, give them an inch, they'll take a mile, or take several miles in this case. Anyway, federal magistrate Judge James Orenstein ruled that the government failed to prove that it had the power under an 18th century law called the All Writs Act to force Apple to unlock the phone of the drug dealer. Following a U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency search and seizure of mobile devices belonging to an alleged dealer, a New York man named Jun Feng, in June 2014, the government spent more than a year not doing anything to pursue what evidence there was on his phone until getting a warrant in July of last year. The Drug Enforcement Agency was not able to get the information and sought help from the FBI, which was unable to get evidence off the password-protected device. They sought Apple's help 2 weeks after the expiration of the device warrant, and Apple said it would help if the government obtained a court order, consistent with its practice in 70 other similar instances. Now, Feng pled guilty last October. However, the government continued the request while it was pursuing additional evidence prior to sentencing and potentially to uncover evidence in related cases of co-conspirators, according to court documents. Now, last month, Apple filed documents seeking a review of the repeated requests by the government to unlock encrypted phones under the All Writs Act. ACLU lawyer Alex Abdo said, "This is a victory for privacy, security, and common sense. The government should not be able to run to court to get the surveillance power that Congress has deliberately kept from it. The future of digital privacy also hangs in the balance." The EFF, or Electronic Frontier Foundation, was pleased by the decision. Their executive director, Cindy Cohn, said that the operating system involved in the New York case is an older version than the phone at issue in the San Bernardino attack. So some good news there in terms of keeping people's data and information and privacy at bay while still wanting to help catch the bad guys. And I think this is moving along like I'd like it to. And I applaud again Apple CEO Tim Cook for standing his ground. And I think in the end we'll show who the real winners are. And certainly in the case of in this case, I think it's the consumer, not the company. I don't think he's being selfish. I think he cares about his customers, and that's something you don't often see nowadays, and I think that's pretty fantastic. Adam Lepp here, also known as AdamTheComputerGuy.com. I am here every Tuesday and Thursday, starting at about 13 minutes after 9 in the a.m. We talk technology topics on a Tuesday and Thursday on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. And of course, you can visit our website and listen to the station in the comfort of your home office or other locale. Speaking of the website, of course, I seem to toot my own horn, beep, beep, every show, but, you know, that's how it is. I don't claim to be perfect. Anyway, I'm the person who is maintaining and hosting the website, and I tell you, it's really looking pretty good. Mentioned last week, Scott, one of our general managers, just had a birthday, and rather large birthday. Not going to mention which one, but a bit of a milestone birthday. Anyway, I think the best present I could give him was this great website, and I think I have delivered. Photos of our staff, our cool logo, of course, and our schedule, links to our Facebook, some local links, for example, Marion Entertainment, and some classic championship wrestling link, a favorite topic of Scott's, local sports, and some other fun stuff, plus, of course, the show archives. So if you miss an episode of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show and you would like to listen to it, or perhaps the Wittenberg Door or Sober Joe, great show we offer for you on Friday about recovery with Sober Joe, you can click on the links on the show archive section of our website and listen at your convenience. Also, we have a full archive of Charlie Everett shows from the last several weeks. And last but not least, one thing that Scott Spears likes to do, which I think is quite outstanding, is talk to celebrity guests. Dick Gregory is on regularly. Hugh Downs, legendary newsman from 2020. You know, he's 95 years old and still sounding very good and very sharp. Scott talks to him regularly. We have a couple interviews from him on. And, of course, a Marion area resident, Mary Ellen Withrow. She signed all those dollar bills a few years ago. Her hand is very tired, but she still is a great interview. And Scott, who's a friend of hers, he talks to Mary Ellen Withrow regularly also. Plus, one of my favorite actresses, Marla Gibbs, Florence from The Jeffersons, and Mary Jenkins from 227. She has been on a couple times. So, some great celebrity interviews for you if you go to the Now with Scott Spears section on our website, wwgh1071.com. Anyway, if you'd like to connect with me, I would love to get your email. And I actually have a couple different email addresses you can use, so I ask you to pick which one you prefer. You can email me at my home office and studio directly, adam@lep.fm, or I also have that email here at the station, and of course that's adam@wwgh1071.com. We frequently discuss autonomous or self-driving cars here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Here's a little update for you. Of course, occasionally, like any vehicle, the self-driving cars are in accidents, but they've always been on the receiving end until now. Google has filed a California DMV accident report confirming that one of their autonomous vehicles, it was a Lexus RX450H, collided with a bus in Mountain View, California. Now, the crash happened when the robotic SUV had to go into the center lane to make a right turn around some sandbags. Both the vehicle and its test driver incorrectly assumed that a bus approaching from behind would slow or stop to let the car through. The Lexus smacked into the side of the bus at low speed, damaging its front fender, as well as the wheel and sensor in the process. Now, thankfully, it was a minor accident, and we're happy to report that there were no injuries. But this might be the first instance where one of Google's self-driving cars caused an accident. If so, the Mountain View, California crew can no longer say it's an innocent dove on the roads. While this was not a glitch, the software made a decision that led to a crash. No matter what the response, it was always going to be difficult to avoid this kind of incident. Until self-driving cars can anticipate every possible road hazard, there's always a chance that they'll either be confused or make choices with unexpected and sometimes unfortunate consequences. However, the hope at this early stage is not to achieve a flawless track record. Instead, it is to show that self-driving cars or autonomous cars can be safer overall than their human piloted counterparts. So thankfully a minor accident, but autonomous cars like the old-fashioned Homo sapiens driven cars are not perfect. Check this out. Yesterday, Google released to the public a new app called Hands Free. Now, you may ask, what does Hands Free do? It lets people pay for items in stores by simply telling the cashier, "I'll pay with Google." Oh gosh, that is major coolness, if I should say so myself. But don't tell just any local store owner that this one's on Google and then walk out with a Snickers bar. The app, available for Android and the iPhone, is only being tested in a few locations in the San Francisco area, including some McDonald's and Papa John's restaurants. See, if I were to go to McDonald's, I'd go ahead and sing one of their songs. Of course, they've had a million and one jingles since I was a little tyke, So who knows what I might end up singing. Probably the 2L beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. And maybe if I sang the song really well. Of course, I could never sing and play piano as well as Pastor Paul from our Sunday show, Heaven Express. But I could certainly try. Maybe if I did that, maybe if I brought Pastor Paul with me, I could get a bit of a discount for some musical talent. So, pretty fun stuff there. Hands-free is just one of many experiments that payments and technology companies are trying out to find ways of getting people to pay for their stuff in new and hopefully better ways. Now, as you probably know, in the last 40 years or so, magnetic stripe cards have really been the only way of paying with cash or check. Now there are all kinds of new ways to pay with your phone, or your watch, or your refrigerator, or even your car. That sounds pretty cool. Consumers, though, have been slow to adopt these new methods, partly because nothing has yet convinced them to move on from paying with plastic. Now, if an app like Hands Free can save them time and remove the hassle of even having to pull out their wallets or dig through their pocket or purse, it could have a chance of gaining supporters. Now, the idea of paying with your voice is not new. In fact, 5 years ago, payment company Square attempted an app. A lot of A's there. Adam, of course, has two A's, but I say that all the time. Attempted an app. Kind of hard to say at 9:30 in the morning, but that's okay. Anyway, Square, which is a credit card processor, which I use in my business, so they're a good company with some good stuff and good rates, they had an app called Square Wallet. Now, Square Wallet was discontinued in 2014. A problem with Square Wallet, which allowed a person to pay by just saying his or her name to the cashier, was that few retailers joined into the program. That cut down on the app's usefulness. Hands Free, which is separate from Google's Android Pay mobile payments app, works by tracking your location using Wi-Fi and other sensors in your smartphone to detect whether you are near a participating store. Maybe it could also smell the hamburgers or pizza being baked. We've talked about artificial sensory perception, so that may be down the road. After you say, "I'll pay with Google," the cashier confirms your identity by using your initials and the photo that you've loaded onto the Hands Free app. Now, of course, if you keep going to McDonald's to pay this way, you might find yourself a few pounds heavier a couple weeks down the road, so perhaps you need to update your photo regularly. We'll check in on that in the future. Anyway, at some stores, Google is also experimenting with an in-store camera to verify your identity automatically based on your hands-free profile picture. Google said images and data from these cameras are deleted immediately and cannot be accessed by the stores. So some pretty cool stuff there. Voice and location and photo recognition. Let me know what you think about that. Is this maybe a privacy violation? Is it cool? Is it convenient? Or is it really not worth it? Do you prefer the old-fashioned pictures of dead presidents, as they say, or the old Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express? I'd be willing to try this if they do promise to keep privacy at the forefront. Why not? So give me a call. Let me know what you think. 740-383-9944. That is the number here at the radio station, Marion's Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and online upon the magic and power of the internet. WWGH 107.1. Turning to an interesting and somewhat scary story related to privacy. Privacy when you're on the bus, Now, check this out. In Maryland, not everybody may know that many of Maryland Transit Administration's buses can record conversations. According to the Washington Post and Baltimore Sun, the state Senate is now considering a bill that would limit this snooping. Maryland Senator Robert Zirkin, a Democrat, told the Post that what the Maryland Transit Administration is doing is a mass surveillance. Now, this has been going on for 4 years. About two-thirds of Maryland's 750 buses now have the capability, according to the Washington Post. Signs in the vehicles tell passengers their conversations may be recorded. The authorities view those signs as representing consent. Now, currently, there is no stipulation that the devices should be switched on by the driver, only when there's a safety concern. Now, this, among other things, is what the new bill is trying to bring into law. Now, that's an effort that's been going on since 2012 and failing since the recording began. The recording devices were inserted into the buses without legislative approval. At the time, officials said they'd received legal advice that the recordings did not violate the state's wiretapping law. This, to some, was quite a, snow job. Those who support the recording say it's intended to help investigate crimes as well as accidents and customer service issues. Some also point to Homeland Security. Clearly, supporters say when there is an incident like a passenger or a driver misbehaving, it's good to have audio. Moreover, not everyone is keen to go on record as a witness when something does occur. Witnesses can also have conflicting views of what happened. Having audio on top of video, which vehicles also have, gives investigators added objective evidence. Now, Senator Zirkin told the Washington Post, "I can make an argument to tape everybody, everywhere they walk, everywhere they talk, and you can make the excuse for Homeland Security, but that is not a valid reason to encroach this fundamentally on people's privacy rights." WYPR Radio reports that Maryland Transit Authority Chief of Staff Jim Knighton told lawmakers, "The audio is listened to only when an incident occurs." A transit authority spokeswoman told the Baltimore Sun that only the relevant portion of a recording is saved and that audio is taped over when the storage drive is full. The Maryland Transit Authority said it could not comment on the specifics of the amendments being proposed as it had not been given their precise language, but it offered statistics that incidents of assault and theft on their buses fell from 356 in 2012 to 108 in 2015. An MTA spokesperson said this legislation prohibits a proven, effective public safety tool and puts students and all MTA riders at greater risk. And again, a controversial topic there, your privacy versus your safety. I'm not even quite sure how I feel. I like how the incidents have been reduced by two-thirds, but I kind of value my privacy when I pay a fare to ride the bus. And can you really trust what they're saying about what they're going to tape, what they're going to tape over? I'm not quite sure. University of Maryland law professor Mark Graber told WIPR, "Given how many conversations take place and the incredibly minute percentage that are of legitimate interest to government, it would seem to me that government has to give a more specific reason about why you would want to tape people." So again, how do we draw the line? An interesting story as technology becomes more a part of people's lives and we look at privacy invasion versus safety and ease of investigation. We'll certainly follow these types of stories as they are an item of interest on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Of course, feel free to email me and let me know your opinion as it certainly is valued. Again, in my case, I'm a little bit unsure. I'm not quite certain how I feel, so I'm going to mull this over the next few days, and I'm sure I'll have a comment or two in shows that are coming up later this month. There you go. Send me an email. That's what I wanted to say. I'd love to hear from you. Get out the old keyboard or touchpad or voice recognition software. Either or. You can email me, adam@lep.fm. That goes directly to my office, and I'll be happy to respond to you, oftentimes within an hour or two. Love to hear from my listeners. You can also visit my website, get my contact information, telephone number, all that good stuff, adamthecomputerguy.com. Well, goodness sakes, I think it's time to make a call across the great world that we live in to Wales in the United Kingdom. I'm going to speak with my longtime friend and business associate, Mr. Nick C.J. Now, this is a man who has been in the information technology and telecom business a long time. He is a wealth of knowledge and a human plethora of anecdotes. So let's see what Nick may have to say today. You know, always a bit of a surprise on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show when we bring in one of our guests. Nick, are you there? Ah, there he is.
Another recent funny on the speed of internet front that we have happen here in Wales. I'm in a little village called Bochrwd, which is spelt Bowrwd, which is near Lyswen, and our exchange is about 2 kilometres away, about a mile. And we've been promised super fast broadband, which for us would be about 30 megabytes a second, since last December, not the one that's just gone, the one before that. We finally got news that we're definitely going to have it in May of this year, May 2016. And so I was overjoyed. I contacted the broadband company and said, can we sign up for this? I was told that the broadband would be in Lyswen, our local village, but I couldn't connect because all of my phone lines went into Cabinet 2, and the cabinet which is going to be connected to superfast broadband is Cabinet 3. I asked then if I could move all of my phone lines into Cabinet 3. It seemed a logical way round the problem. Ah, well, you'll see, we don't actually have any phone lines connected to Cabinet 3 at the moment. We're working on that. So, just a little example of the exasperation that we face in rural Wales here. Another local village has had the superfast broadband put in, and it's a village that's divided by a river, and they have a bridge over this river, and the provisioner has put in the superfast broadband into 2 cabinets, one each side of the river. And when I saw them, I stopped and inquired, what are you actually doing? We're putting in superfast broadband for the local populace, and we've put in 200 connections in each cabinet, each side of the river. I said, gosh, that's brilliant, but we've got 450 people that live each side of the river, so you're going to be short. Yes, well, we don't want to overdo it, do we? And that's another example of the wonders of living in remote rural Wales. Thanks, Adam.
Well, thank you very much there, Mr. Nick C.J., reporting from Wales in the beautiful United Kingdom. Hey, if you would like to be a correspondent, a commentator, or a regular person providing great features on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, I would love to have you. Again, send me an email at the station, adam@wwgh1071.com, or you can connect with me on Facebook and we can chat that way. We can even chat in video. How about that? adam.net.in will get you directly to my Facebook page. Now, feel free to give me a call. I am live here in the studio in the Marion Center Mall in Marion, 740-383-9944. We can discuss the Apple and FBI issue, other matters related to data privacy, encryption, and that kind of stuff. Perhaps you have a problem with your computer at your home or office. Your server is not serving anything but headaches. Your printer is not printing anything but junk. Or maybe your computer is getting slower and slower every day. That's okay. You can call me. I'll make it fast and make it work spectacularly. And I can often do that quickly, even sometimes during a phone call. So please, pick up the phone and call me. Questions and comments, even suggestions, even complaints, if you don't agree with me about something. My opinion about the Apple and FBI matter is pretty strong. I side with Apple. If you disagree with me, that's fine. I'll be happy to discuss it. I don't claim to be perfect. 740-383-WWGH, which is 9944. Coming up at about 10 minutes after 1 in the PM today, I mentioned that Scott Spears often has interesting guests, local and international celebrities. We have a local celebrity today, former Marion Sheriff Ron Scheiderer. He will be joining Scott about 10 minutes after 1. They will be making a special announcement, and they will sit down for an in-depth interview. And the announcement is a bit of a surprise, so please tune in at about 10 minutes after 1 today for Now with Scott Spears, speaking with former Sheriff Ron Scheiderer. Again, taking your phone calls and discussing issues important to the great community that we live and work in. Adam Lepp here, Adam the Computer Guy. Good morning. Thank you very much for listening. Much appreciated. You know, if you're one of the few who actually wears 3D glasses to watch movies at home, you're not going to like this. If you're everyone else, you probably don't care. So feel free to get a cup of coffee and crank the volume while I discuss this issue. 3D, which was once hailed as a breakthrough new feature on TVs and propelled into mainstream consciousness by the blue aliens of Avatar and the efforts of DirecTV and ESPN, has been losing popularity for years. Sometimes these latest and greatest technologies aren't so great and they kind of go by the wayside. Now, it has absorbed that most tell of death blows from the biggest TV maker. A source at Samsung, who did not want to be named, has confirmed that none of its 2016 United States TV models will support 3D. And that definitely would be the old death knell. Now, that means they won't be able to display 3D Blu-ray movies or other 3D content, and will not work with 3D glasses. The only Samsung sets that will support 3D will be carryovers from 2015, like the UNJU 7100 series. Now, the reason, according to this anonymous source, is that Samsung wanted to concentrate more resources on its new smart TV functionality, including integration with its SmartThings home automation platform. So, when a major manufacturer makes a decision like that, it certainly has ripples into the entire industry. But, you know, let me know what you think, because I remember a few years ago, 3D TV was really hot, and it certainly has cooled off pretty much by the day. But do you have a 3D TV? Does this upset you, or, again, do you not really care? Give me a call. Right here at the studio, I am live at the Marion Center Mall, 740-383-9944. And if you would like to be a sponsor of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, you know it's a very good deal. You will get frequent mentions on this show. You will get a mention on our website and also mentions throughout the week. course, we're on 24/7 with original talk shows just for you. Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com, or, of course, give us a call right here at the station,
740-383-9944. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake the cake.
Adam Lip! Yes, that's my name, and talking technology topics on a Tuesday and Thursday in the AM, that is my game. And thank you very much for being a part of my listening audience. Of course, as a technology person, I'm interested in making sure that youngsters are exposed to technology at an early age. You don't have to get a PhD in computer science. Again, you don't have to run servers or even work in the field, but our society is obviously very technology-based, technology-dominated, and getting some exposure to this at an early age is not just a good thing, but I think it pretty much should be required. You may have heard of the acronym STEM. It doesn't refer to plants, but I guess in an indirect way it does refer to the stem cells of your brain. That's science, technology, engineering, and math. Sometimes I call it science, technology, electronics, and math, but, you know, pretty close. As engineering and electronics and technology, they kind of go hand in hand. Anyway, the Chicago Board of Education has voted unanimously to make computer science a graduation requirement for all high school students, beginning with next year's freshmen. Chicago Public Schools has become a national leader in computer science education since Mayor Rahm Emanuel launched the Computer Science for All initiative for grades kindergarten through 12 3 years ago, according to their school board. The five-year plan aims to make computer science a core subject taught in schools. It includes a partnership with code.org to provide the curriculum and to prepare teachers. The White House recently launched a national Computer Science for All program. The Chicago Public Schools said that exposing students to STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, early will provide critical skills and training for success in their careers and life. Demand for computing skills will be greater than the supply of qualified job takers, according to Chicago Public Schools, and that will mean a gap of 1 million job openings in 8 years. Now, check this out. While there are nearly 600,000 job openings in computing, universities last year produced fewer than 40,000 computer science graduates. Now, Chicago Public School students will be required to complete one credit of computer science education as half of the two-credit career education requirement. So, I invite your opinion on that. Again, I'm not one to shy away when I feel like an opinion is in order. And, of course, an occasional wisecrack. Well, of course, we get that here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Send me an email right here at the station. adam@wwgh1071.com, or even better, you know, I'm live in the studio right now. Pick up the phone, the handset, wireless handset, or the old-fashioned rotary dial phone that your grandma gave you, 740-383-9944. And talk technology topics on a Thursday with me, Adam Lepp, Adam the Computer Guy. Also remind you that coming up on April 30th at 7 p.m., the Marionaires Chorus Barbershop Harmony, Hot Air Buffoons, and Quorum, Dave Callendine on the Palace Organ. Sounds like a pretty cool show. Only $12 for adults, kids up to grade 12, $6. $15 for adults at the door, $10 for kids. You can get tickets from any chorus member to Southland Barbershop, the City Barbershop, and at Palace Ticket Offices. one of the main and most popular topics on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show would be cell phone technology, some advances, maybe some challenges, and of course, always security-related issues. Right now we have 4G, fourth generation, LTE, which stands for long-term evolution. That's the latest and greatest, and of course, many of us, including myself, have a 4G LTE phone or tablet or other device. Of course, the next step up would be 5G, and AT&T has announced plans to start testing 5G technology with a possible limited commercial rollout before the end of 2016. Now, 5G, again, which stands for fifth generation, it offers the promise of besting the speeds of today's fastest wireless networks. Check this out. By a factor of 10 to 100 through the use of millimeter waves, as well as network function, virtualization, and software-defined networking. Not entirely sure what that is, but it sounds kind of fun. Through a collaboration with Ericsson and Intel, AT&T will be ramping up its efforts to bring 5G to the market, starting in the second quarter of this year, which sounds like right around July. How's that for a July 4th present? The planned tests follow extensive research as well as patent filings and the development of software-defined networking. This allows AT&T to update systems without touching. It's a faster, more efficient method of introducing new versions of programs and technology. Now, of course, there will be a few bumps in the road, as I like to tell people. Kind of like with a car, don't get the latest and greatest technology the day after it comes out. For example, Windows 8, Windows 10, people are still dealing with the bugs, and I would say Microsoft is still trying to fix some of these problems. So with cell phone technology, sometimes it's best to wait a little bit to get these things ironed out. But I sure like the idea of 10 to 100 times the speed we have now. That sounds, I think I need to get a more powerful seatbelt, let's put it that way. Anyway, 5G involves a rather large set of improvements, as you very well might imagine. In fact, we're looking at a gigabit of speed to consumer and business customers. Now, Fletcher Cook, who is the Assistant Vice President of Global Media Communications at AT&T, said some of the things that AT&T will be testing are power and performance in rain or other disruptive weather conditions, including cold. He said that if it goes well during the summer of 2016, you could start seeing point-to-point limited commercial availability for limited fixed broadband soon after. So maybe that'll be a Christmas present. How about that? The ultimate geek Christmas present. Cook said that isn't for the wireless phone, wide area network type 5G. That's much longer term because we have the standards that need to be sorted. Now, AT&T is working diligently to establish uniform standards for this 5G. So it's still in the development stages, but certainly we can get a preview of some kind. Just putting it on our phone that we carry around 24/7, that might be a different matter. It'll take a little bit longer. He said the standards piece is the biggest hurdle. Identifying how networks between carriers will work and how these standards are set are two things we've got to figure out. So on my end, sounds like a lot more than a few months down the road, but it's helpful to dream and learn about this. We've had 3G, we have 4G, and 5G is next. Advances in new technologies, coupled with the rise in using smartphones for bandwidth-gobbling video consumption, are propelling AT&T and the other carriers to get 5G networks up and running. Fletcher Cook said the combination of connected cars, the Internet of Things, speed and new technology, like virtual reality, is driving this. Marketing agencies, as you might expect, are jumping on the new tech bandwagon. Earlier this year, we had the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas with all kinds of fun gadgetry being rolled out. And since that event took place, the stage has been set for 2016 to be the year virtual reality becomes a household name. It's become a checkbox for marketers and creative directors to have in their marketing strategy. For example, said Fletcher Cook, there are a lot of Fortune 500 brands that are making content for YouTube, Facebook, and Little Star. And this is a new way to get their message out. The trick will be finding enough bandwidth to seamlessly deliver all that content. As more and more people are investing in affordable means of watching virtual reality content, which includes things like Google Cardboard, which requires a viewer, which costs just a few dollars, and a smartphone, the demand for faster speeds and more bandwidth is growing exponentially. Austin Mace, an executive at Subversive, said, "Streaming a lot of virtual reality content requires a lot of bandwidth." He said the introduction of a 5G network would definitely accelerate the mass adoption of virtual reality because it gets content to people faster. One of the biggest bottlenecks we face in live streaming virtual reality is data speeds. So he sees that this 5G network could pretty much solve that problem. And in my opinion, increasing speeds that are already pretty fast, increasing them by 10 to 100 fold, that should pretty much take care of it. So we'll be following this 5G platform as the year rolls out and see how they're progressing and when this might be available at a cell phone store near you.
You're listening to WWGH